Hey there, this is New York Times bestselling author and ridiculously happy wife, Laura Doyle. Buckle up, Aubrey's about to take you on another great episode of The Road to Rediscovery. Sit back and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, level it up, take it to the next level, and help other people who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, you can get this show anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We are worldwide, not nationwide, worldwide. We're even on platforms that most of us have never even heard of in other countries. We always, always would love to hear your feedback on how we're doing and any suggestions or ideas on how we can do better. If you are on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, we invite you to leave a rate and review. But otherwise, we still want to hear your feedback. Just shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. That's roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com. And we'll give you a shout out in a future episode. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. All right. My special guest is the founder of Wabia, a company that's helping hundreds of individuals guiding through life and career with all sorts of purpose, right? He specializes in holistic growth, leading positive change in the workplace, and a lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Jean-Francois Lapas to the show. Jean-Francois, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Good to be here, Aubrey. Thank you so much for having me. Despite the time difference, I think you're like 6 hours behind me. So it's my evening. I'm just winding down my day. And you're kind of halfway through yours, so I'm looking forward to a very exciting conversation.
Oh, likewise, yeah. It's amazing how the difference in several hours can really, you know, have such an impact between the end of a day, winding down, and being halfway through a day. So I'm really excited for us to dig into this and unpack this. So Jean-Francois, if you can give us a glimpse into your personal journey that inspired you to have found this company, Wabia.
Yeah, very happy to do that. So I am first and foremost the co-founder of Wabia. Wabia is an acronym for We Are Because You Are. And our purpose is to help you, whoever you are, find your ideal guide on your road to rediscovery. And our guides are all professionally certified coaches. So you have to imagine that we are like the Uber of coaching. So whatever your actual needs and whatever you need to get on the road to rediscovery, whatever that means for you, we've got a professional coach for you. And the reason we're doing that is because we want to help people know themselves better, love themselves better, and trust themselves better. Because when you do that, then you move into self-belief and self-trust. And basically that means that you move forward with lightness and confidence in your life. And fundamentally, the reason we started this company is because we want to have a positive impact over 1 billion people by 2033, because we believe that if we have impact on individuals, well, then that has a positive impact on the people in their lives. So even I'm a big believer in conversations like these. Even having this discussion with Aubrey, we're actually having an impact on many listeners, many viewers right now. So it's the same kind of ethos that Aubrey vehiculates, that Wabia vehiculates. And the journey to getting to this point has been, I suppose, was kickstarted by a radical act of self-love. And that radical act of self-love was handing in my notice from a 14-year and six-figure corporate career in the middle of the pandemic without a safety net.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's where it started. But I'm going to pass it back to you if you have any questions. Like, let's see where this conversation goes.
No, thank you for sharing that, Jean-Francois. And, you know, it's funny you say that because, you know, no safety net. And during a pandemic of all times, right, it reminds me of a quote from a comedian named Steve Harvey here in the States. His quote is, you know, the true character of a person with complete ambition and just steadfast resilience, and I'm paraphrasing, anything they're driving towards, you could tell they're serious when there is no plan B. There can be no plan B. And that plan B, I would consider kind of synonymous with the safety net, right? So you have no safety net. There is no plan B. What you are aiming for and what you're shooting and pursuing has to happen. And so by all means and any means necessary, you know, you make that happen and you're making that happen. And I have to commend you for that. Can't wait. I love the acronym. We are what you are. It's fascinating. It really is. And so, and I agree with our, conversations, you know, affecting, as many people as you want to, by youth, was that the year 2033, John?
2033, well, 1 billion people by 2033 through what we are doing and the service that we're providing. But like I was saying, I think I just also fundamentally believe as an ethos of mine that each and every one of us has the opportunity to positively impact people's lives every day. And when we do have a positive impact on people's lives, it does have a halo effect. So I think it's about raising the level for everyone. Hence the name, We Are Because You Are. It's the implicit notion of the individual within the collective and how really indivisible from each other those two things are, right? We can't exist without other people, and the collective doesn't exist without individuals.
100%. Two things I've always said that that is inherent within us as human beings is the spirit of giving. It's inherent within us to give of ourselves, to give to others, as well as just human interaction. Right, no one person is an island, so that's and that's something that is to our benefit as a human race, and having these conversations exponentially, passing it on from, you know, people to people, the people in our lives, to your point, is critical, and it can naturally, organically happen as long as we're genuine in how we live, right? And spreading that positive energy and helping other people who are struggling and trying to find their purpose, right? And so I want to kind of unpack this by first asking you for the clarity and the benefit of the listeners, can you please explain what it means to align your path? What is aligning your path?
A really good question, Aubrey. I think alignment happens when there's no more resistance or friction. I would see probably resistance and friction as being self-doubt, right? So I think the aim of the game is to start trusting yourself so much and understanding as well that you are on your own path, right? Everybody is absolutely unique. Okay. And whoever again is watching or listening, I think one critical thing to always keep in mind, especially when you're having those down days, right? The days that are tougher than the other ones, whoever you are, wherever you are, is there has never been, there isn't, and there never will ever be another person just like you. How you are assembled, the materials that make up who you are. So you are unique. And so the path that you're on is unique. And I almost feel like when we're born, almost immediately, our parents kind of go like, okay, well, we've got to raise this child, right? Like with reason too, right? Because we don't have any resources to take care of ourselves. But I think that starts nudging us slightly off our unique individual paths because our parents pour themselves into us and they go like, well, we have these values and this is what we believe in. So that's where we're nudging you. Mm-hmm. And I think part of our job as individuals is to get back to our own true path.
Right.
And if we can reduce the amount of friction, the amount of doubt that we have about our own path, then I really fundamentally believe that that will lead to like being true to yourself. Right. And that friction can show up in like so many different ways. For me, it showed up when I talked about that radical act of self-love and hanging in my nose in the middle of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I was suffering from an extremely severe burnout. This was like probably an extreme situation in terms of like friction. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing that really pushed me out of the path that I'd been on ostensibly for most of my life by that point, and started nudging me towards my true path, which is the path that I'm walking right now. I really do believe I don't feel a lot of friction in my life. I don't feel a lot of doubt about what I'm doing. And I suppose the big difference, right? Like the burnout was, the burnout really came about with symptoms of really high levels of anxiety, some depression. There was substance abuse. I was drinking heavily. And in fact, as a result of my burnout, I stopped drinking for 2.5 years just to reset my relationship with alcohol, with my body. I tore my ACL in my knee. So I also feel like I had a nudge from the universe going like, stop everything you're doing. There's something completely wrong, right? Like, mentally, emotionally, physically, nothing was working. So if you're suffering from any of these symptoms and you're finding things difficult, I think it's really important that you listen to those signs. I think I'd gotten to a point, especially during my burnout, where like it was almost normal for me to not sleep complete nights and have eye anxiety and just drink regularly. These are all indicators that something is wrong. And it took that powerful break for me to hand in my notice. And then 2 weeks later, I was actually diagnosed with a severe burnout and I was signed off for the duration of my notice period. And that's when my path to rediscovery essentially started.
Man, that's wonderful. I mean, well, I say wonderful, of course, fully acknowledging that it may not have been exactly pleasant to go through, you know, and what you were feeling at the time, but and there is something to be said about living in the moment, whether it's good or bad, but to live in the moment and embrace that discomfort, but you know, also having the lens of this is the beginning of a change, of a transformation. This is the beginning of, you know, rediscovering who I am and myself. It looks like and sounds as if you were beginning that path once you were diagnosed with that severe burnout. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the reason we've created Wabia and why I decided to become a coach was to help people so that they don't have to get to this extreme point.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be that much of a traumatic event for them.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, a severe burnout is pretty bad medically, but there are other ways that this can manifest, right?
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes in more violent ways, sometimes in more insidious ways. I think we all have our ways of like coping with the disconnect we might feel with regards to our true self. And I feel like, I think a good way of explaining this is probably that disconnect is probably the lack of a sense of calm and peace. So if for elongated periods of time, you can't really describe an emotional calm or an emotional peace, it's probably an indicator that like something's off. And it's really, really critical and really important to be able to interrogate that. And what I facilitate as a coach, and what Wabia facilitates as a service, is your ability to sit in, a space without judgment, right? Fully confidential space without judgment, professionally supported, and explore what it is and verbalize what it is that you're feeling. I think that's really the important part. And that's the one thing I realized that is most helpful to our coaching clients, is the ability to safely, non-judgmentally be able to hear themselves talk and have a professional hold up a mirror going like, is this what you're saying? Or is this what you're saying?
Right.
And I think that just provides different perspective that sometimes we lack in our lives, and we can't really get it sometimes from our the people that are close to us, right? Because our spouses have a lot invested in our well-being.
Of course. Yeah.
In our lives. Our friends kind of know us on a very personal level. They have an investment. Our employers have an investment. And it's very different as well from therapy, because therapy is really, generally speaking, about looking at traumas from the past. It's a medical profession. And it's about helping you kind of understand and overcome those traumas to be better in the present. Coaching is really about where you are right now and how you want to move forward. So there's a lot of it that has to do with, I see it kind of like hope, right? Because there's a future facing, what do I want to do and how do I want to go about doing it? It's quite action driven and future facing, which again, I think a lot of people appreciate. In fact, I was considering this when I was waiting for us to kind of kick things off, Aubrey. I do believe that a good metaphor for coaching is actually a road to rediscovery, because you're moving along this road and it is really about you and your own path.
Yes.
So yeah, some additional food for thought for you, for everyone, really.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that additional insight, right? And the listeners also appreciate that as well, Jean-Francois. And you bring up a couple points that are like just so resonant that I just want to kind of paraphrase, if you don't mind, just to reemphasize for the listener's benefit, right? You know, some of the things that you mentioned regarding just the difference between coaching and therapy, and, you know, while a relative or a family member, a loved one, a good friend, while they may have the best of intentions, they may not be the absolute best to talk about these types of things, right? And so that brings me to the question I wanted to ask you regarding the type of disposition and mindset and energy that, say, a coach would need to demonstrate or display for the client. To me, it sounds like it's a balance to strike, right? In my mind, it's a balance to strike between creating that safe space, mm-hmm. being non-judgmental in what they're mm-hmm. hearing in that safe space, but at the same mm-hmm. time, trying to basically reflect like a mirror in sharing with the client what they heard without appearing or sounding judgmental. Is that a balance to strike?
Yeah, that's so good. Thank you so much for rephrasing. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Aubrey, and clearly you're an excellent listener, because that's exactly what I want to get across. I think a really important fourth and fifth thing. Mm-hmm. The fourth thing really has to do with the personality of the coach, right? Yes. Every single one of the initial conversation is always free, and we call them a chemistry call. You need to vibe with the person that you're going to be opening up to.
Yes.
And I've got my own style, and the different Wabia coaches have their own styles, and it's really, really cool. Like, some are like a little bit softer, I'm a little bit more direct. So that's really important. The chemistry is really important between the two, and that includes the personality of the coach and how it matches with the client. And yes. The fifth thing, which is really a critical element, is also the certification, because it is not a profession. There's no legal component to coaching, okay. which makes it really tricky to regulate, because it can't be regulated because it mm-hmm. is not a profession. And so it's incredibly important to ensure that if you are interested in a coach, no matter what the coach calls themselves, whether they right. call themselves a life coach, a relationship coach, a career coach, any kind of coach, just make sure that they have the appropriate qualifications, right? That they are yes. certified from a program that's recognized by a global accrediting body. The biggest one is the International Coaching Federation. Mm. It's got thousands and thousands of coaches. There yes. is a code of ethics that it's bound to, and it has a methodology, a framework. So keep in mind, anyone can call themselves a coach.
Right.
I've lived right. through something, and so I can help you get it across the line, but that doesn't mean that you're actually trained to do so. Yeah. And that's one of the tricky things about the industry as well. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of coaches out there. Like, Tony Robbins is a coach. You know what? I'm not going to talk about Tony Robbins. I don't know enough about him. But ostensibly, even before going to Tony Robbins, you yeah. would just make sure that he has the right qualifications, I suppose. Yeah. It's kind of like, you wouldn't go to a dentist that hasn't been qualified to be a dentist, right?
Right.
You wouldn't go to a therapist that isn't qualified to be a therapist. Right. You wouldn't go to a car mechanic that doesn't know how to, you know, take care of a car. Right. So it's the same kind of thing. And especially because it's a little bit of an esoteric process, right? It's like you're discussing like internal drivers, motivators, you're discussing emotions, you're discussing values. Those are not tangible things. So you need someone that's able to help navigate and support you within a framework. So that's those two additional things are really important: the compatibility with the coach and the coach's accreditation. And all our coaches at Wabia are actually certified by the International Coaching Federation. So that's a big tick.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, wow. Man, that's fantastic. And you know what? That takes any ambiguity out of the minds of the client from a qualification standpoint, right? That's hugely and critically important, and I'm sure it shows through in the work they do with the client. So I want to thank you for clarifying that for sure, Jean-Francois. Another thing I wanted to kind of see if we can go down this this path is I want to if you can share some insight for the listeners on finding your purpose, finding your path, you know, where you want to be in life, what direction you want to move in life, whether it's family oriented, career oriented, and those types of things, right? So while the revelation of finding your purpose and path may have several common themes like peace, calm, okay, it looks different to each person. I would imagine, right? So let's say we take two people. I'm going to just hypothetically throw out two different people, okay? No one in particular, but just based on their path and their journey so far, you know, can one have found their purpose more so than the other? And here's the scenario, if you will. Let's say we have someone in their mid-40s. They have not completed or attended, either not completed or attended university, and they jump around from job to job. Nothing really consistent in the form of income, and has moved from place to place to place. You know, they are steadfast in what they do enjoy doing: hiking. They enjoy going to the beach. They enjoy painting. They enjoy drinking wine. That's one person. Now you have a second person. They're in their early to mid 20s, just graduated from university with a degree in finance. And they're following their parents' footsteps in being financiers, which their parents were. And of course, thanks to them, lining them up with a very good entry level, just out of university job at a financial institution. So you have those two people, and it comes to the naked eye, if you will. It sounds as if one has their purpose and path more defined than the other. But to your point earlier, we're like snowflakes. They're you know, we're all different. The paths are all different. And so in the scenario I just gave you, Jean-Francois, could it, which in your mind would you say has a more defined path or a more defined purpose? Or is it too superficial to tell? Is it possible that the middle-aged person has more purpose and found who they are and what they are more so than the one in the mid-20s? You know, age can play a factor too in how long you've been on this earth, but what does that look like to you?
Thanks for a very detailed setup and scenario there. I appreciate that, Aubrey. I feel like ultimately, I feel like both of these characters, right, these fictional characters, are both walking their own path.
Yes.
And that's the point. You have to walk your path continuously. The only way that we can actually realize who we truly are, right, discover and make real, that's what I mean by realizing, is by taking action and seeing what the reactions are and gauging how we feel about that. Does it feel right? Does it not feel right?
Right.
So I suppose in the example that you've given, maybe I'm working my way to answering your question now. I don't know how either of these two people feel, because I suppose on the surface, I would say that the person in their mid-40s seems to be very happy with just bouncing from job to job and moving around and just doing what they love. They seem to love.
Right.
But are they actually feeling a sense of peace and calm as a result of doing that? Or are they like conscious, like always anxious because they don't have enough income? Like, do you know what I mean? And vice versa, the student might be quite young and not as experienced as the person in their mid 40s, but maybe they have a really clear sense of calm and peace and identity with the path that they've chosen. And so are they walking their own path more sure-footedly than the person in their mid 40s? So like, what does that tell us? I feel like you and I kind of discussed this when we met originally.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to poorly paraphrase what I think came out of it, but purpose can be that great big thing. I have a very clear sense of purpose. My purpose is to help others realize their purpose.
Yes.
That I know that to be a fact. Mm-hmm. And I do that by spreading the word, right? And the word is love in every which way that I can on a daily basis. This is a mantra that I have. I wake up in the morning when I meditate first thing in the morning, I finish going like, whatever you do today, just spread the word. The word is love, and go off and help people walk their path as truthfully as possible.
Yes.
I went through this difficult burnout to get to that point. I did a lot of thinking, a lot of seeking, but I've also heard so many people go like, oh my God, this is so big. I don't have this big idea of a purpose. And I don't know like what I want to think about my life on my deathbed, but that's also okay. Yeah. Purpose can be found in everyday life, in everyday moments, as you walk your path, as you make your life. Mm-hmm. I suppose the connecting thing between the two for me probably has to do with that sense of not joy, happiness, thrill, those really like peak comfortable emotions that we can feel, but more so that sense of, I'm getting goosebumps, so this is probably a good sign, that sense of like peace and calm.
Yes.
Just almost like if you imagine the yin and yang, right? Like walking that middle line in the middle. If you imagine a wheel of emotions, if you ever use that, just like not the uncomfortable side, not the comfortable side, just like straight down the middle.
Yes.
Like I have no strong feeling one way or the other, which actually is really good because there means that there's like a quiet calmness. And that's, I think, where you come up with the truest answers for yourself in that deep calm. Not in your head, because your thoughts are always happening and there's always a thousand of them and they're all over the map and they're saying all sorts of crazy shit.
Yeah.
More like here, what is that deep calmness? That is the indicator that you're doing the right thing. No matter what your parents are saying, if you're
in
your 20s or even in your 40s, or no matter what your spouse is saying, or what your friends are saying. And that's the difficulty that we have, right? There are so many external pressures. I've just talked about the people closest to us in our lives, but also the things that we see on the news every day, on our phones, on social media. It's so hard not to compare ourselves because Frank seems to be in the Maldives every other week and enjoying a fantastic life. But like Frank might be dealing with deep PTSD because of something that happened, or like we don't know what's happening in other people's life, but we keep being bombarded by the external stimuli. So that's why finding, I think, that peace and that calm, whether you're in your early 20s, starting your journey, or in your mid 40s, halfway through, is really critical.
Yeah, that's incredible insight, Jean-Francois. And I want to, once again, I appreciate you and want to thank you for clarifying that, right? To me, what you just said here just further emphasizes for the listener's benefit that it's going to look different to each person. And another element that we would need to be familiar with is how does that person feel? Are they at a point of acceptance in their life, in where they are and doing what they enjoy doing? Or are they at a point where they are still fighting and scraping, you know, and moving in that direction and pursuing that goal, right? It's gonna look different to each person. Another thing you brought up, which I thought was absolutely extraordinary, because it was part of the direction I was going to take our conversation next, which we've covered it now, which is awesome, is the the element of comparison, right, is they say the saying goes, comparing is the thief of joy. And some years ago, I recorded an episode, a solo episode called Comparative Thinking, and how that can be very toxic to your own development and your own growth and that sort of thing. You know, just because we graduate from high school with our graduation class, and now, you know, everyone scatters, goes different places. Some go into military, some go to university, some work in a trade, some travel the world, you know, and then let's say the 5-year anniversary of a high school reunion or 10 year or 15, you know, to be thinking and having the thought of, am I comparatively where my peers are at my stage of my life beyond high school? It's just very, very much of detriment to be thinking in that type of mindset, you know, in my view, at least. And there must be a tremendous amount of focus when it comes to trying to realize what your path is and follow that path, and removing that element of comparison, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, I think this links back to something you said just a moment ago as well about self-acceptance, right? Like, there's this notion of being able to accept yourself. Mm-hmm. And once you're able to accept yourself, which I think is about really like knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And loving yourself. I think that's self-acceptance. Know yourself and love yourself. Then you're able to trust yourself. Mm-hmm. That no matter what you do is the right thing because you've got that sense of calm about it. And I suppose then if you look at comparison, it doesn't become comparison in a negative way anymore. It becomes comparison in order to find inspiration.
Yes.
You look at something and you go, actually, this thing is inspiring.
Yes. Yes.
I'll give you an example. So I'm just now starting my Instagram journey. I was going to make a very London-based reference, but I feel like the Bakerloo line, which is the underground tube line, which is older than the world. It's like clickety-clack. There's a lot of noise. And so I feel like it's very, very tough. And it's hard because I'm looking at all these other accounts. They have like hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yeah.
And I caught myself feeling envious and jealous. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Number one, I tried immediately not to judge myself for it. Oh, you shouldn't feel envious or jealous. Like, no, jealousy and envy are normal human emotions. Mm-hmm. I think it's more identifying like, okay, great. What is this jealousy and envy about? Well, actually, I'm envious of like the reach that they have so they can spread their message. It's not so much about the amount of followers. It's about like, I want to have that kind of reach to spread my message because I think my message is really important. People need to hear it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that I've reframed envy and jealousy into actually, this is coming from a really good place. What can I take from what I'm witnessing? So I've been following this, this woman in Switzerland called Charlotte Grimmel. And, I really love how simple her grid is. She positions herself very clearly. It's clear what she does, why she does it, what she's about. And then there's just like a really beautiful simplicity to the carousels that she posts. And I was like, okay, I've got 9 years of communication under my belt. Let me be inspired by that and start to kind of put a plan in place. So I spent some time with ChatGPT exploring different bits and bobs and you know, putting my plan together and going like, okay, now I've got a 4-week plan. I'm going to see if I can like move the piece forward. But very importantly, more than anything, I need to feel comfortable with what I'm posting online. Yes. And so that comes back to knowing myself and loving myself and looking at this thing, not comparing it to what she's doing, right? She's got her own language and her own style. I'm like, is this me? And if I can say yes, then I'm like, great, trust yourself, post it. Okay, fine. Maybe I'll just get like a handful of likes, maybe a comment or two. But most importantly, I am okay with what I'm putting out there. And that's a sense of peace and calm. No matter what, I know I'm walking my path. There's no dissonance in what I'm doing. So I am comparing myself, but I feel I am doing the work to be able to compare myself in a very healthy way that actually promotes less envy and jealousy on the negative side of things, but more inspiration, right? And just being able to celebrate what people have done. They've walked a path before you, so you can be inspired by that path. So I think all of these things, this internal work of like self-knowledge, self-love, self-trust, can be complemented and enhanced by being inspired by what you see around you. And instead of pining for it out of a place of lack, trusting yourself that if you want, you can reach that for the right reasons, because you're doing it from a place of calm and confidence.
That is a brilliant and just absolutely genius way of reframing there, Jean-Francois.
Thank you.
It truly is, because you are walking your path. You're making the action. You're taking the action. As you said, you have the calm and the peace in knowing that you're doing that, and you're not valuing it by the number of likes or views you're getting. You know, just the simple fact that you're walking the path and moving in that direction, and that's where you choose to go. That is the value itself that you know in your heart of hearts that gives you that peace, right? So that is.
And you know what, man? Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, some of the, like, it's all organic stuff, right? I'm going to use some like very organic numbers, but like, I'm getting a few hundred views on like some videos, maybe
that's
some
great.
Or something.
Yeah.
Which it is actually, this is the point I want to make, Aubrey. It is great, because I also know that my friend Skylar in California is getting thousands or tens of thousands of views, but I can still say, like, you know what? Like, I've still, like, 300 people have watched this. So my message has gone out to like 300 people. I can't even imagine pre-social media what it would take to reach 300 people. And now, like, we're comparing ourselves and going, like, oh my God, like, I need to reach like a billion people to feel like I've had it. So I think reframing that as well is like, I don't know, I'm an older millennial, man. Like, I would have had to call a lot of people or mail out a lot of things in like 1995 to have that kind of reach or impact. So I think it's important also to, I think in England there's a phrase like, taking the piss out of yourself is like just not taking yourself too seriously. You have to reframe things, and the Brits are so good at that. They're so good at taking the piss out of themselves and not taking themselves seriously, and actually making fun of you when you do take yourself too seriously. And that's a beautiful part of the culture here.
You know, I have to say I've met quite a few English people from Great Britain, and that is that's spot on to what you've mentioned as far as my impression of them in meeting them. And I have to say that there's a sense of there's a refreshing sense when it comes to taking the piss out, you know, and meeting someone who has and does not take themselves seriously, you know. As the old adage goes, you know, my generation before me would say, I don't take myself seriously, but I take what I do seriously, you know, and I can see the validity in that as well. But again, not taking yourself so seriously to where you get caught up and say you overread every slight sign or message, or you think it's a sign, or you think someone's trying to tell you something where you have to read between the lines, and it's just overanalyzing things. And to me, it's quite refreshing for someone who doesn't do that and doesn't take themselves seriously. That brings me to one of my last areas that you quite alluded to there, Jean-Francois, that I can tell we're on the same vibe and wavelength from an energy standpoint. I have a course available for all the listeners. It's called the Rediscovery Roadmap course. And in this Rediscovery Roadmap course, at a high level, we just cover what I call the four cornerstones to personal growth. That is self-awareness, gratitude, humility, and service to others. So those four areas are the cornerstones to personal growth. And self-awareness, I say first because it is foundational. You can't do the others without that first. And then it goes on from there. But anyhow, you alluded to humility. And with humility, to me, that plays a key role in what you have been sharing with your insights on discovering your purpose, discovering your path. Do you have any other type of insights that you'd like to share on the role that humility plays in our journeys?
I'm laughing because the first thing that pops to mind is how old was I? This was in 2008, so I must have been 25. I was sent by my corporate business, my company, to work in the Maritimes on the East Coast of Canada to be a sales rep on the road. So I would visit convenience stores and sell our products and everything. First of all, I'd barely driven by then. I took my driver's license just to be able to do this job. So I literally just had the driver's license. It was still like warm in my wallet.
Oh, wow.
Montreal. But also I'd never done a sales job like that. And actually I realize my preference is not sales, right? Like some of the guys that I spent time with who were kind of training me, this guy in particular that I'm thinking about who was training me had that in his pocket, right? He could talk about like margins. He could talk about like what's happening in the shops around and the micro trends and the macro trends. I had zero interest in all of that. What I do have in spades is probably charisma and an ability to get people to like me. That's why I could sell and get my quota because I would just get people to order more product because I was like, come on, I need it this week. You know? Anyway, I want to get back to your humility question because I spent the first 2 weeks with this man, Paul, old salty, like Maritimer, right?
Yeah.
About, like, we're talking about from a US standpoint, we're talking like Boston-ish, Maine-ish, like East Coast area, right? And he's just been on the job for so long, and you know, he's taking me through my paces. And I remember at the end of our training, he looked at me and he's like, "What do you know?" I was like, "Well, I don't know." You know, I started enumerating all the things that I'd learned, and you know, a bunch of stuff that had happened over the last 2 weeks. And then he looked at me, and he's like, "You know nothing."
Oh,
I was like, "What? What do you mean, Paul?" He's like, "You know nothing." So that was at 25. And I have to admit, it's probably only in the last few years that I've realized the wisdom of those words. Because now as I'm 42, all right, going back to humility, waking up every day and reminding myself that I know less than I did the day before. Right? Because the extent of my ignorance is so vast. That to me is humility. I know nothing. And if you can come at life from that perspective, especially given how subjective life is. We're not even talking about like knowing stuff as in like 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
We're talking about like knowing stuff as in like I'm having a conversation with you and you might fundamentally believe, I don't know, that 2 + 2 = 5. Maybe because it's your religion.
Maybe.
Okay, mathematically, I could argue with you till I'm blue in the face.
Sure.
But you'd still be like, no, I'm sorry. My religion tells me that 2 + 2 = 5. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Subjectively, you feel that you're completely in the right. So even when I know that I'm right, I might not be right because the person's perspective really is so all-englobing. So I think that's really, really important to remember that you need to show up not knowing as much as possible every day. And you know what that happens when you do that is that you're always pleasantly surprised. And this is such a really key. First of all, curiosity is my second core value. My first one is openness, but it's also so important for coaching. I love when I'm in a coaching conversation with a client. You know, it's really important for coaching because if you're not really open and curious, then you start kind of thinking that you know what's happening for the client. And then your brain starts tracing a line and you start leading the client with your questions. It's tough not to do that. I do it still and I've got hundreds of hours of experience. But my favorite moments are when I'm asking a question to the client and I've got so little expectation as to the response. That I find myself when the client's response going like, oh my God, really? Tell me more. Like genuinely, genuine surprise. So that's what I have to say about humility. I know nothing. And so I can always show up being pleasantly surprised and like willing to learn more and get curious about it.
Thank
what do you mean 2 + 2 = 5?
Right.
Tell me more. Like what
tell
is
me
your
more.
Religion say? This is crazy. Tell me
more. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, it leaves you open-minded and it removes that closed-mindedness. And, you know, with my background being in talent development, the operative word I heard from you is learn. And to me, that means a lot. It means scores because I think those three words, you know nothing, and you're able to take it to heart and still be secure in who you are. you know, inspires and motivates you to learn so that you can move in the direction of knowing something. And, you know, I've said for a long time, we're lifelong learners. Okay. Anyone can teach anyone anything. We're all in different places, in different topics, in different subjects and, you know, subject matter. So, being a lifelong learner is imperative. And if you don't come to accept you know nothing, then, you know, that motivation may not be there to learn. And you may think you may know it all. So, Jean-Francois, I want to thank you so much.
Boring.
For, and what's that? It could be boring.
So boring,
yeah,
right?
It would be boring. Yeah. Like, yeah. Who wouldn't want to learn something new?
What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point of being alive if you're not still learning and discovering?
Right. The only thing I could think of, and to me this isn't valid, but the only thing I can think of is the type of person like that who loves to hear themselves or who loves when people come to them with questions so they can just disperse their worldwide knowledge, you know. Because that's the only role they can play if they're not trying to put themselves in a role to learn. That's just my ramblings there for sure. But Jean-Francois, this has been a lovely conversation. I would love it if you could please share for the listeners how they can follow you, how they can learn more about you and connect with you.
Absolutely. So first of all, our website is wabya.com. That's WABYA.com. You can find us on Instagram at We Are Because You Are, and on LinkedIn, just typing in Wabya. And from there, you can connect with myself, my co-founder, Craig, and a bunch of the coaches that we work with. We have a bench of 18 coaches now that work with
18.
Us. And they're helping dozens and dozens of people just overcome self-doubt and start thriving in every aspect of their lives. And if you ever are curious about it, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. All we want to do is to help you on your road to rediscovery. And thank you so much, Aubrey, for having me on today.
100%, 100%. We're going to put all that information for the website and the Instagram handle in the episode show notes. You heard it right here, everyone. We are because you are. Just think about that phrase right there. We are because you are. That says a lot. It explains a lot. And it could be anything you are, anything you want to be. Wabya can be that as well. Jean-Francois, I want to thank you again for coming on to the show. I hope we can stay in touch and hopefully bring you back for another conversation in the near future.
I'd be honored. Thank you so much, Aubrey. Have a great rest of your day.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And hey, look, you may feel like this at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, you're never alone. And there's always hope. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone that you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. And when it all comes down to it, we're all just roadies on this journey of life. But it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Roads Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have.